WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In Europe, American writer Patricia Highsmith is so well known, she's regularly stopped on the streets for her autograph. But in this country, despite the fact that some of her books, like Strangers on a Train, have spawned popular movies, she's only attracted a cult readership. Critic Maureen Corrigan says one explanation is that American readers of crime fiction are confused by Highsmith's amoral explorations of perverse behavior. Highsmith's new book, Ripley Underwater, is her first novel in 12 years to feature the charming sociopath Tom Ripley. Maureen has a review and a warning.
Entering the world of a Patricia Highsmith novel is like having one of those dreams where you're sitting in your own living room and everything seems normal, until you suddenly realize that you're having a dream. Then odd things begin to happen, like maybe the television sprouts tentacles or Adolf Hitler sits down on the couch next to you. You struggle to wake up, but it's no good. The harder you try, the more you experience the terror of your own paralysis. And even after you finally do awake and say to yourself, it was only a dream, you still regard the living room furniture with a lingering sense of unease. Reading Highsmith gives you that same disturbing after effect. Her novels skew your ideas of literary justice, tilt your internal scales of right and wrong. Sure, you can tell yourself that it was only a book, but somehow the ethical order of things in the real world seems less stable. Ripley Underwater is the fifth in Highsmith's celebrated series about debonair conman and murderer Tom Ripley. The novel opens with Ripley enjoying his leisure at his charming villa in the French countryside. Pity about those bloodstains on the villa's cellar floor, but then blood is so hard to remove. Unfortunately, a boorish American couple named Pritchard has just moved into the neighborhood. It's bad enough they play loud rock music and wear garish clothes, but David Pritchard also seems to be slyly knowledgeable about the string of mysterious deaths and disappearances that have befallen Ripley's acquaintances. Pritchard is especially curious about the fate of an art collector named Murchison, last seen in Ripley's company in the second novel of the series, Ripley Underground. A tense game of cat and mouse ensues. Pritchard makes prank phone calls to Ripley, pretending to be another dead friend. He trails Ripley and his wife on their vacation to Morocco, and he drags local canals, searching for Murchison's waterlogged bones. When Ripley questions Janice Pritchard about her husband's motives, she demurely explains, "David just likes to see people wilt, if he can make them wilt." But this time, Pritchard has selected a deadly prey. The bizarre but undeniable pleasure of reading Ripley Underwater arises from both the suspense of the psychological contest with Pritchard and from the dawning, horrific awareness that as readers, we're drawn to Ripley. We root for him to keep his gory secrets hidden and go on living the guilt-free good life. And in a climax that's reminiscent of the end of Dorothy Sayers' greatest mystery, The Nine Tailors, even nature seems to side with Ripley. In Ripley Underwater, Patricia Highsmith once again proves herself to be a master of the macabre. But what's really chilling is the way she so deftly warps the moral sense of her readers. Even after you close this strange book, you're left with the strangeness of your own responses.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.